Hi, this is George for the Classic Pinball Podcast. This is Episode 5, Part 2 of Quicksilver. In this next segment, I try to make the case for Stern to make classic remakes. Dave and I then have a spirited discussion of the new Stern Home Edition of Star Wars.
Papa sold out in 1 second.
Yeah, there you go.
So
no, I know.
No, but
Papa is more.
I think you're missing something.
Yeah.
You've got all the boards that have all been reproduced. You've got cabinets that can be made fairly easily. A play field is a play field is a play field. Quicksilver is a single level game. A switch in an old style, you know, Bolly or Stern game is different than Optos or, you know, again, I'm not familiar with the underpinnings, but you get what I'm saying. It's 40-year-old technology, but it's easy to reproduce. There's no mystery or magic. People have already done it. So when you say it would be hard to manufacture, it's a line. They put a board out, they string the stuff, you know, they string the wiring harness through the board, they connect all the mechs, and off you go. I don't get where the heart is, especially for a company that does it.
Well, I think it's more like it's not going to play like the original. I don't think you can really sweep the new Stern drop targets.
Right, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm saying, why can't you manufacture the old style drop target, put your bushings in there, make it so that it works like an old Stern drop target, and you sub that out to somebody and say, I want to make 1,000 of these drop targets. And that's what you install the game instead of the newfangled drop target. What's the difference?
That would be great if they did that, but they probably don't think that the mom and pop or whoever buying the stuff is going to notice the difference.
Okay.
And that's fair. And the people that do, I mean, this is years ago. I remember having Stern chime in at one point, or people from Stern. And I was saying, why don't you guys make the old school? Oh, no one wants that stuff. And it wouldn't sell. A couple of you hardcore collectors would buy them, but no one knows what a Quicksilver is. They know what a Mustang is. They know what a movie title is, but they don't know what a Stargazer is. And it won't sell. We know best. And, you know, so, and that's why they kind of went with, okay, we'll play game. We'll play with you guys. We'll make Sea Witch. We'll put Beatles, a known thing, on it and see how it goes. And I guess it went pretty well. So now the thing is, well, let's put Sea Witch artwork on it and see what happens. So it might be an experiment they might do.
Well,
let's see which version goes.
I'm going to change gears and feed on your experiment thing. I know you're not familiar with this because you're not a crazy addict like I am with Twitch and all the podcasts. But on Thursday, Stern released a new Star Wars
Home. Oh, version. Yeah. Yeah. I heard about it
different.
I saw a picture. I didn't really get a close up.
I watched the feed.
All right.
So I saw all the commentary and everything else.
And no one liked it.
No one. They hated it. And I looked at it and I'm like, you guys are a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, they are.
They had Zach Sharp. Okay, you got Zach Sharp playing a game. Yep. You could make a turd look really good. But
sure.
But the game. I was excited. I'm no Stern fanboy, but I gotta say, kudos, good job, great game. Everybody's bitching about the price. It's an experiment for them. They're trying to figure out the home market.
But they've already done this.
I have a feel. You know, I know this, but everybody said this game seems a lot better than some of the stuff they've released in the past. But they're at least – what they're trying to do – I guess this is where I'm going, Dave. They're trying to push the price point down and get it Joe Casual to buy this thing. But I don't think they can get the price point to the point where it's like
it's not
a
down
big
enough.
Screen TV, and if the thing craps out, you throw it away and buy another one. But
I give them
a lot of credit because they're trying.
They've already played this game before. They've already tried this. Didn't work. They, you know, for what do they want?
I think they got a hit here. I'm just going to say, I don't know anything. It looked like a fun game, and it looks like they are going to sell some of these things. If you're a Star Wars fan, you're buying. It's like the whole movie was in the game.
Yeah, I guess if you're going to do it with the theme, I guess so. You're going to get the Star Wars people.
Pick a title, that's the one. I mean, look, there aren't very many people in this world who haven't seen the original Star Wars. There are, but there aren't many.
You missed a lot
of the video clips. I mean, Disney gave, in my opinion, a lot of leeway on that title.
Here's the thing, though. They already made a Star Wars pin. They have the exact same pin they made for like a grand more, whatever it is. You can get a nice, robust, real pinball machine, not a home model, for like $4,000 or $4,500. Who's going to do that? You can buy a real one. That's the problem.
We'll see. I'm just throwing it out there. I got no skin in the game. You know that. I don't own a new game. I'm just saying, from afar, I think they're going to sell a few.
I'll tell you, the people I talk to, I know collectors that buy new Stern games all the time, and they say, why am I going to spend, I could buy a new game, same Star Wars game for, I don't know, a grand or whatever it is, not much more, and I can get a fully robust game with all the stuff and not little miniature ramps, but real ramps that they're supposed to be, and not the little miniature things they got going on, the shots. And so
game, we'll say. I just bring it up there because you were talking experiment, and here they are again, you know, they're trying to fill a market. I just can't, you know, is it going to be are they going to retheme it like they did it, you know, with a Supreme or a Domino's? Is that what they're going for with this? So they got another platform to do it with? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying they're out there testing the waters. They're trying to do something different, but everybody craps on them for doing it. And I just look at it and say, it's pinball. Why are you crapping? You folks don't remember the dark days. Man, do you want me to take you back to the early 2000s? You'd be crying for one of these.
Well, I don't know. Didn't they do Vacation Pinball or Vacation America, whatever it was? Someone did that game, and that was a whole model.
Thunder Turds. I mean, yeah, there's tons of garbage games out there. I mean, but, you know, hey, I don't crap on anybody. They tried. They might not have succeeded, but they tried.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, it's like you put your – I don't know. I don't know if they do any kind of research first. Will this sell? Do they kind of like, you know, get their Pew Research Center on it and say, hey, if we do this, is people going to buy this thing? I don't know. Or they're just going to throw the spaghetti on the refrigerator to see if it sticks.
As I say every time we have this kind of conversation, it's speculation. It's my thoughts. It's your thoughts. It's 555 other people on Pinside's thoughts.
But you know,
nobody agrees, and everybody thinks they're right.
You know what? I think the biggest frustration with collectors and people with this whole, what they did just now with the Star Wars thing, they're all thinking probably your effort could be better spent somewhere else. Your effort could be better, instead of that. It could have been a better thing. Make the latest another new game of other, you know, some other game and still sell it to a home market, but have a real game. Why not put a real game in Costco?
Because they're attempting to get the price. Like I said, I don't know anything.
But the price point.
I just look at it and say, if you can get a pinball sub 3K.
But it's not. It's not 3K.
No, I know it's not. It's like, I think it's around $4,000 discounted. But whatever. My point is, they're attempting to push the price point down. Think about it. It's a Star Wars. So you're paying, you're paying up to have that theme on slapped on the game. Remove the theme off the game and put whatever theme. I came up with one the other day. Disco dinosaurs. I mean, they're coming out with, Jurassic World or whatever. Why pay the Piper when you can come out with your own game and do all the same stuff?
A quick exchange regarding Chris Hutchins.
I don't know if I said this to you the last time, but he was saying that 75% of the play fields that he gets from his customer base need to be touched up, painted, cleared in some way, shape, or form. It is very rare that a playfield comes in that meets his standards.
You mean like a new play? What are you saying?
Like a new play field, like a Mirko, or, I mean, and I don't know if you saw that thread. People were complaining about chipping on the play field.
On Mirko's?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I really, you know, I took it to heart when somebody said, oh, you know, you guys need to be a little bit more researched. Well, look, I did the dive.
Don't listen to the haters, George.
I'm not listening to the haters. I'm just like, don't get my backup. I'm going to go deep and tell you everything you ever wanted and not wanted to know about Quicksilver.
Life's too short to listen to Gambit.
Did you know that Mercury Outboard has the brand name Quicksilver? Did you know that you can buy surf apparel branded in 1959 called Quicksilver? What else do you want to know?
Take that, Gammas.
There you go. Other than you and PJ, do you know anybody else who owns a Quicksilver?
No.
No, okay. Wow.
No, that's about it. I did sell a couple to...
No. I don't mean that. I mean, you know, somebody you've met, not somebody you've sold to, you know, met through wherever. Yeah, wow, that's okay. That kind of tells you how rare the game is.
Yeah, actually, a previous acquaintance has one.
Okay. Yeah. And then here's the other, you know, I said 62 Pinsiders own it.
I made a mistake in not fully explaining the antique dealer theory that collectible numbers fall in half every 10 years. The example I used for Quicksilver was there were 1,200 machines, and I brought it down to 150, but I only failed to go to 30 years. So follow me. If you start with 1,200, after 10 years, there would be 600. After 20 years, there would be 300. After 30 years, there would be 150. But after 40 years, which is how old this game will be, that's 75 units. So the pin side number is probably pretty accurate. Obviously, not everybody subscribes to it or pays attention to it, but I think it at least gives us an idea of how many games might still exist.
But there are 5 on public location, if you can believe that.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and I'm going to give them all mentions because they deserve it. And I don't know how many of these are open on a regular basis, but the Museum of Pinball in Banning, California, Pinball PA in Hopewell Township, Pennsylvania, Vintage Flipper World in Brighton, Minnesota, I think, or Michigan. What's MI? Michigan?
Michigan, yeah.
Michigan. Papa. Okay, we know where that is. Do you say Carnegie or Carnegie?
Carnegie, like Carnegie Hall.
Okay. If you're from Pittsburgh, I think they say Carnegie.
Hmm.
Right. Anyway. The Pinball Parlor in Ramsgate, Kent, England.
They have one there too?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's it. That was my... And our friends up in Rochester, New York at the bar do not have one, and you know who that is. They do not have one. They own one, but they do not have one at the bar.
Okay. Yeah, that's about it for Quicksilver, I think. I mean, you can go down to minutia of what separates it from a Bally, but all the other Sterns are the same way. I can address that in a different Stern title.
I did think of one other thing. I don't know, and you probably don't follow it. Hep, Chris, the guy, the restorer.
Chris Hutchins, yeah.
Anyway, off the
side. I like that. Nice, George. Good research.
No, but I'm guessing you didn't see that. And I was kind of surprised when he said that. I'm like, wow, okay. That just shows you how particular he is.
In this segment, Dave talks about how pinball companies got around licensing art from those who should be paid.
So back in the day, Williams tried this too. They made a Boodles pin, which looked just like the Beatles, but it's the Boodles. So they kind of got around things that way. They didn't have to get any kind of licensing. Same kind of thing that Bally did in the mid-70s with 8-Ball. They have Fonzie and Pinky Tuscadero on there, but they aren't. It isn't Fonzie, and it's not Pinky Tuscadero, but it really is. But
right,
that's how they got around.
My point is, you're not paying Disney for the Star Wars brand and whatever that entails. I was talking about the analytics of our podcast. Do you realize that the number one state still is Virginia? Over every other state, it's Virginia.
Wow.
We're our number one. And
all right, Virginia.
This is even crazier. Ashburn, Virginia, 85% of our listeners come from that particular town.
So who's in Ashburn, Virginia?
I have no idea.
Well, you
I don't
know
where it is, but I thought that was funny. And then, you know, the other piece, I was teasing it the last time. We are international. We have listeners in Canada, Australia, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Sweden, and Belgium.
All right. We're worldwide.
Yeah, no, we're doing much better than I ever thought. Thank you for all those who have listened to us. I very much appreciate
all,
it.
You know what these people all have in common?
We know what these people all have in common,
especially that, what's the name of the town in Virginia?
Ashburn.
Especially Ashburn. They all have really good taste.
They do. It's fun looking at the analytics and seeing where, you know, where everybody's coming from, but it's good. Numbers are good. This will be interesting to see how many people, want to hear about Quicksilver. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think people are going to enjoy this one, the Quicksilver episode, because it's a game that's gone bonkers with popularity over the years. If people have discovered it. I knew what it was years ago, and a lot of people didn't, but I said, this game will catch on eventually. Once people get their hands on it and start playing it, they're going to say, I want one of these.
Well, I think we're going to cause a lot of people consternation when they're like, oh, that's a great game. And then, oh, geez, like never going to ever find one of these. And if I do, it's going to cost me a lot of money. But hey, price you pay.
Yeah, admission to get in the game.
I know Dave for almost 20 years, and I never heard this story. Sit back and listen for the next 8 minutes. This is one of the best pinball stories you'll ever hear.
All right, so for Quicksilver, it was one of the first games I bought years ago, in the 90s somewhere, early 90s. And I was looking around at that time I think I had told some of the story before, my friend Stu said, oh, you can get these games. And it's, oh, good, I can get these older games again. Great. And I looked around and said, oh, no, you need to get the latest, the Pinbot or the Adam Sandler, whatever.
Right,
I was like, no.
So go ahead. How much did you pay?
I don't know. I went out there on Rec Games Pinball or somewhere, maybe Mr. Pinball Classifieds. And this guy out, I think he's in Ohio, he had a Quicksilver and he had a Dragon Fist. He goes, oh, I'm thinking I'm going to, you know, I have both of them for sale, but I really want to keep the Dragon Fist and I'll sell the Quicksilver. And I go, oh, you want to sell the Quicksilver? Okay, sure. How much? Well, let's see. Would $170 be too much? I said, no, that's just fine. And it was working and it was pristine. The play field was perfect. Back glass perfect. Cabinet perfect. And it worked for $170.
Oh, jeez.
How's that?
Oh, here, this feeds into the Marco Rossignoli book I was looking at earlier today, talking about Quicksilver. Stern's Quicksilver, 1980, a pinball with unusual electronic bumper sounds. One of my favorite games from this company, $325 to $425. The book was written in 2000.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it's like, yeah, find one.
Right, but my point is, you know, he's got a price point in there. It's just, we can have our price show
and
one day.
And now
we can compare how much we paid for all our machines.
I know someone who bought
people's hair is going to stand up.
I know someone who bought a roached out one, non-working roached out one. Horrible. It would have been like a boat anchor in that time frame years ago. He paid $3,000 for it. you know, and the restored ones anywhere from 5 to 8, 9 these days for a nice one.
No kidding.
They're going for new Stern pricing. They know it's the pricing of new Sterns.
Good for those who own it. Anything else?
Oh yeah, one more. I have one more story about a Quicksilver. So a couple years back, I think in 2005, I had my Quicksilver up in my lineup, you know, with some classic Bally's around it. I had my friend from Bill from Texas. People might know him here, Bill Morrison, famous guy from Texas, great Stern collection he has as well, and some Bally's too. Avid collector, and he does Best in Show out there for the Texas Pinball Festival. And I had him over, along with some other friends of mine over here. Again, PJ was here. And it's a really hot day, kind of like now in July, around the same time frame. It was really hot, and we were playing the games, I can tell when games get played a lot and it gets hot, the action kind of slows down because the coils heat up and it's not as crispy. You don't really get as much of a crisp feel on the pop bumpers and the flippers because everything is heated up. I don't think I probably didn't have AC in my house at that time back then. I forget. But so I said, I got a great idea, guys. You know what? Why don't we all take a break? I'm going to take some free spray upside down and spray it inside each one of the cabinet. In upside down freeze spray people use for freeze Mylar and take it off play fields. And what I did is I basically put it inside the cabinets to make a nice.
You shot it through the coin door.
Through the coin door. I made it nice. I put my hand there. It was nice and icy cold. It's like, oh, great. And then I realized at the same time, I just finished on that Quicksilver using 2-part epoxy to level the inserts because it's kind of sinking and I want to level them, make sure they don't sink anymore. No. I did it earlier in the day. So there's a little bit of epoxy smell in there still, but that's okay. So then we went outside. But my friend Paul, PJ, said, you know, I really am Jones. I want to play. I want to play. It's like, all right. So we're outside having a beer. He comes in. All of a sudden we're on the deck and we hear and feel, bah, boom. And the whole deck outside shook. It's like, what the frick? What did he do inside there? We go in the house. All I see in the game room is glass everywhere. I see a missing Quicksilver glass. I see a back box with no glass in it. I see the bottom of the cabinet of the Quicksilver is blown out to the bottom. I made a bomb is what I did on all these games.
No way.
Oh yeah. And then as I'm coming in, I see my friend Paul coming towards me like a shell-shocked victim of some war and with his hands over his head and kind of walking on it. And I was like, part of me is like, I wanted to say, what did you do? But at the same point, it's like, oh, wait a minute. I think I did this. I freaking almost killed my friend.
You're lucky you didn't kill him.
And then I'm looking at, I have a mahogany old school 1920 upright piano across from the game.
No, I see
shards of glass are buried into the mahogany wood. Okay. A shard of glass is buried.
A fragment of glass is sticking out of the wood. That could
out of the wood.
Sticking out of his head.
Oh, there was it. Yeah, in his head too. There was one right above his eye. He almost got one in his eyeball. You know, thank God someone was watching over him and he didn't. We took him to the hospital. My wife took him to the hospital, and we were all pretty well hammered, so we weren't driving, but she did. She got him down there and got him all squared away, but he still couldn't play Quicksilver. Like a couple years after that incident, he had like a really bad feeling about Quicksilver, and that was his favorite game too. I felt so bad. I felt I almost killed
you. Think he might have had some feelings about you too? Like,
no, he's not that.
To me?
No, he's a sweetheart. He is really great guy.
That's a good story. That's a good story. I've never heard that one before.
And so what happened is, so here's what happened. I made a perfect bomb, whatever vapor in the game. He came over, started a game up, and as soon as he hit the flipper button, if you ever see a flipper button inside a game,
the spark, and that was it.
Big blue arc, boom, and so much so that the side rail, it was like a nice sturdy stainless steel, was like blown up, like someone bent the side rail. That's how much the explosion went up.
God,
bent the rail. The playfield glass came up. The back glass came out. They met in the middle and smashed together. If you had a slow motion camera on it, and that came out the bottom of the cabinet went down, and there's still like shards of glass actually buried in the playfield too. And I say, and then after this whole thing happened, it's like where the frick am I going to find another Quicksilver backlash? That thing was perfect. Now I have no Quicksilver backlash. Now, meanwhile, of course, this is after I found out my firm was okay, so I wasn't, you know, worrying about it right then. But, you know, a couple weeks later when things were calmed down, and I know he was cool, and he didn't go blind, and he was fine after that. Still shell-shocked. But what happened, we all went to Mohegan Sun or something. And I just called, while I'm down this, like, I got to call somebody. I called Mayfair. And Mayfair Amusements, Steve, out of New York there, he had one. He had a Quicksilver backlash. And I said, I'll take it. He said, I didn't tell you how much yet. I said, I don't care. It's a new old stock Quicksilver backlash. I'll take it. And I think he charged me, I think it was like $250 for it. So I scored that.
That's low money. Imagine what one of those would go for today.
Oh, nowadays, if you can find one, I don't know, $400, more. $455. I don't know.
More. If you don't have one, more. Okay. So why don't we end it there, Dave? I'm going to say to all, be good and be well, and we'll see you with our next episode.
And I'm going to say, keep those spinners a-spinning.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.